The hardest road to travel is the one you don't want to be on. If you want to be on the road, then you'll face whatever obstacles, whatever challenges there are, and you'll move through them, and you'll break through to whatever needs to take place. Mark Twain said that the only difference between the words work and play are the circumstances within which we choose to use them, because sometimes they can describe the same thing under different conditions. And so as we look at what life is about, we realize that there are many things that we face that we don't want to face. But if there's something in us that says that I want to move through this to something more, then we'll face those things and we'll make it through one way or another. And we think of the early part of our country, and one of the ironies to me of the song, you know, this America that you sing, is that, you know, the name of the hit of the tune is God Save the King. And so the composer took, you know, this very traditional English song, God Save the King, and turned it into a celebration of our freedom. And to realize that this is the key to overcoming, the key to victory in life, is to take what shows up and to make it something different. Because how does it show up? You know, how do diamonds show up? Do they show up all cut and polished? No, they look like rocks on the ground, and I'd probably walk by them and not even recognize that they were diamonds. How does gold usually show up? It usually shows up in something that needs to be refined and then shaped into something greater. And in America the Beautiful, some of my favorite lines is, you know, America, America, may God, let's see, how does it go? God, your gold refine. And it's not about talking about the gold, it's talking about that gold within us, that potential, the possibilities that are within us, to refine that into what it can be. Another one of the lines in that is, God, mend thine every flaw. And we need to recognize that in this relative world of experience, things don't show up perfect. And we need to take them as they are and to do the mending and the changing, the transformation that needs to take place. I have people that come to me sometimes and say, why do you do all this stuff on the Bible? I mean, isn't the Bible sort of, you know, irrelevant to our time? And what I say to them is that our culture is based on stuff from the Bible. And if we don't know what that's about, we get swept up along with the belief system, we get swept up with many things that we're not aware of what it's about. Phrases that we use many times are stuff out of the Bible. And even we think of some of the great things that Abraham Lincoln said, a lot of his images and phrases that he used were right out of the Bible, because that was the first book he studied from. And there are many people who come from the point, you know, that the Bible is the literal word of God, and we need to see that it's more than that. We can take it that way, but as it's what's really powerful are the symbols that are in the Bible, and particularly in the book of Revelation, the symbols that are there for us. And to realize what they say to us is that something's going on that isn't the way you want it in life. Don't let it stop you. Break through to something more. Break through to something greater. And in one of my Bibles, under Revelation, it has the heading there, it says that the Christ is powerful to win. That's its, you know, one-line interpretation of the book of Revelation. What we have today is, in the beginning of chapter 3 in Revelation, this letter to the church in Sardis. Sardis was another city in Asia Minor. It was the capital city, and one of the features of it where it was known for its tombstones, its white tombstones. And again, the author does a little play on with that in here. But if we look at this, and the name Sardis actually means to be very well off, to be prosperous. And again, because it was the capital city, so it was that. And this letter, just like the other ones, has three main features. First is a revelation of the radiant Christ, and then an indication that something needs to be corrected, and then a promise at the end of the power, the life, the joy, the love that's going to flow through. So it says, and to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So if we look at this, is part of that symbol that was in the first chapter. That's the seven spirits of God and the seven stars that he was holding in the right hand. Now again, God doesn't have seven spirits. And what the author is trying to communicate, that there are seven parts of God that we can look at, and depending on who's interpreting, there's different sevens that show up. One author said that the seven spirits of God represent love, light, wisdom, truth, power, beauty, and life. Another writer says that the seven spirits represent love, kindness, strength, courage, good judgment, mercy, and understanding. Love is the only one that's common to the two of those lists. So what does it mean? It means that there are aspects to God that we can discover, lay hold of, and let be active in our lives. And we can stand with that Christ presence and let it express in us and as us in life. And then usually these letters have, there's a word of praise and then a word of condemnation. And in this one, they come in the same sentence. I know your works, you have the name of being alive, and you are dead. So what is the author talking about? Again, what does it mean when somebody has a name? Say somebody says, he made a name for himself, or she made a name for himself. It means that they've been successful. They've done something that's of accomplishment. And so what the letter says is that you've done something of accomplishment, you've made a name for yourself, but there is another aspect of your life that is dead. And if you talk to people many times who have done great things in the world, usually they're still looking for something else, aren't they? They're still looking for something else. They've done something out here, but they don't always have something within themselves. And so that's what this letter is talking about. You are alive, you've made a name for yourself, but you're dead. There's something more that you're looking for, something more to bring life. Awake and strengthen what remains and is at the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. In other words, there's room for improvement. We all have room for improvement in our lives. Remember what you have received and heard, keep that and repent. Again, we think of this word repent many times in an old traditional repent being to beat our breasts and say, I'm going to repent. The word repent means to change your mind, to change your consciousness, to operate from a different belief system, a different understanding, to know something else and to live from that something else. And then, again, this is written by the author in what sounds like a threat because, the idea of an anthropomorphic God. God is the big guy upstairs. And so it's written from that point of view, an Eastern, symbolic point of view. If you will not awake, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. Yet you have still a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who conquers, so here's the promise, shall be clad thus in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. So here we have, this idea that God, and if you've ever seen a picture of this, it's really funny. God has his book of life, he's looking in it, and God's wearing glasses to look in his book. I mean, we have to, again, remember that these are cartoon images. These are not the reality. And he's looking to see if your name is in the book of life. And traditionally, at the time of the New Year, the Jewish New Year, God actually has three books. There's the book of life, and if you're in that book, you're there. Then there's a book where you're not in there and forget it. And then there's a maybe book. And the idea is on New Year's, if you're in the maybe book, you've got 10 days till the Day of Atonement. You've got 10 days to get it right. And then if you do, then your name is in the book of life, at least for the next year. And so the image that the author takes this image, again, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. In the ancient courts of the king, they had a book, a record book that they kept of people who had done things for the country. And from time to time, they would go back and they would read what someone had done, particularly if they were visiting at that time. They would read what they had done. So their name was in the book of blessing. And their name would be announced to the witnesses. And if someone was going to get a new office in the court, or some new responsibility, or was going to be getting new territory, what they would do would be written in the book and it would be announced, and there would be what were called witnesses that were there who were the runners who would then take the information and take it out to all the different parts of the kingdom so the people would know what was going on. So when that person came by, people would know, oh, well, this is so-and-so. We've heard about him. He's made a name for himself. So what, if we look at this then, if we look at this letter symbolically, what it's inviting us to do is to see that in our lives we have done some things of note. We have done some things that are worthwhile. But there's more that we can do. And that it's not just the outer things, but there's a spiritual power that can come forth. And that's to be in a white robe means to have the sense of being clothed in the Spirit. Being clothed in the Spirit. Another way of saying that, another way of languaging that, is to be anointed. To be anointed by the Spirit. To feel that that power is working in our lives. And so if we think of this book as saying that we in our lives have come to a place where we realize that there's something greater that can be moving for us. We have an opportunity for action, an opportunity to move beyond where we were. And if we look at that word action, I'm going to use that as the framework here. The A can stand for accept the rich anointing of Spirit. Accept that rich anointing. Say, here it is, to acknowledge the Christ within us, that there is this Christ power. Now, it's easy to go through life and to forget that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Because do the people around us always remind us of that? No, they don't, do they? They're usually pretty good at enumerating the things that are not right about us. And we have to admit that that's what we do many times with other people, too. We think, well, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is? And we forget to acknowledge that rich anointing and to look to that, not just to what's being done in an outer way, but to that reality, that inner reality that's there in their lives. And then the C stands for come alive. In the book it says, awake, awake. There was a little boy who was standing in the narthex of a church, and they had a plaque on the wall, and there were names on the plaque, and he was looking at the names. And the pastor of the church came and stood by him and was looking at the names, and the boy turned to him and says, what are these names on the plaque? And the pastor said, well, these are the names of those who have died in the service. And the little boy stood there a little while ago. He says, well, which service was that, the 9 o'clock or the 11? I hope I haven't killed anybody. But we realize that in life, there are some things in life that feels like. In fact, we sometimes say, this is killing me. Or you're killing me, we will say sometimes. And we allow ourselves, and the word death in the Bible doesn't always mean physically dead, but it means to not be aware. And so this verse says, wake up, come alive, wake up. Wake up to this. Wake up to this reality. Wake up to the sense of a vitality that we have. You know, we can feel worn down by life, but to realize that there's a vitality within us that is the Christ, is ready to come alive and wants to, that wants to. Those of you that have been here when Ed Scheer was here, you know, in his program, Coming Alive, yeah, here's this nutty Englishman who will get people to do all kinds of crazy things and have so much fun doing it. And if you remember, I think the last time he was here, what we had, there were about, I think, 40 or 50 of us that had been a part of the program and preparing. And on Sunday morning before each service, we lined up on each side of the narthex, and as people walked into the sanctuary, they were getting applause. And you should have seen, you know, people, you know, sort of you walking in, particularly first service, you know how it is, you know, they get here at first service and you're not quite awake, and they're sort of walking, and all of a sudden, it's like you could just see them come alive. Well, if we could have that sense that the universe is saying, come on, you can do it. You know, come on, be alive. Let the expression of life come through you. And it's fun in the morning. Once in a while I get to do a walk in the early morning and hear the birds singing. Because they don't just sort of sing. They sing with their whole being. And when you hear that, when you hear just that energy of life that's expressing, it's like, oh, okay. And we can connect with that as well and let it be alive with us. The T stands for to tell of your blessings. To tell of your blessings. It's easier sometimes to tell of our woe and to do what's called an organ recital. oh my aching back, oh my stomach, oh my heart. And we can do that, but to tell of our blessings, to tell of our rich blessings, and to see that the more that we focus on what we've been given, then we realize that what we can do is something more. One of the things that I always go back to in my mind, again and again, is George Washington Carver. And we know him for the peanut and all the things he did with the peanut. And what many people don't know is that he did over 200 things with the peanut. He did over 100 different things with sweet potatoes. Medicines, inks, dyes, all kinds of things. But to me, that was good. But what I even liked even greater is that what he did, he went around the rural South during this time of, it was a depression in the South. And one of his gifts was to go into a community and to look at what they were throwing away. What was junk to them? What was trash? What was garbage? And to find what was valuable there so they could sell it to somebody else. And they're going, well, who would want this? We're just throwing it away. He says, well, I know a group over here, or I know a city over here that could use this in some way. And then he'd go to that city and look at what they were throwing away, and he would know somebody else who could use what they were throwing away. And he'd go to that city and find what they were throwing away. And so these towns began to exchange their garbage, but it became a blessing to somebody else. How many times do we look at our lives and say, boy, this is garbage? We might use a different word, but that's up to you. And what do with that stuff? We use it for fertilizer, don't we? Unless we let it just pile up, and then it doesn't work. And so we have to look for even what doesn't look like the good for us. There's value there. There's a blessing there. There's something that can enrich life if we're willing to look at it that way rather than just looking at it as garbage, as junk. So tell of our blessings, of our rich blessings. The I in action stands for innocence. And this is that image of the repentance or the white robes. And the innocence, not to be naive. Sometimes it's easier to be naive. I don't want to know about it. But to be innocent, which means to come with a freshness. It's like the little kid here brought up the chain here. You know, he'd just gone to see the movie Milan. You know, he would have talked for an hour on that movie, and would have just been so excited about what he saw. And in that freshness, that innocence, to realize, you know, the value that's there. One of the fun parts of our camp out this weekend was going down to the lake. It was about a 10-minute walk down to the lake. And we had a fishing derby. And we went down there, I guess there were about 15 kids that were in the fishing derby, fishing away. And I think there were about 4 fish caught. And the adults that were down there with them, they were thinking about what kind of prizes or rewards they were going to give. And so what they came up with was not in terms of the number of fish caught, but in terms of what they saw, the kids. So they went with a sense that we're not just going to be about the usual thing of fishing derby as the largest fish, the most fish, that type of thing. But they saw the one who was most helpful with others, the one who is willing to bait the hook for others, the one who would take the most time untangling a tangle. And they found, and it was so wonderful to see these adults looking for something besides what we usually look for in a fishing contest, and look for qualities of life that came out, qualities of expression that came out. And so the innocence is not about naivety, but about coming into a situation with a freshness, to come alive in a new way, to say, what else can I see here? What else can I draw from this experience? What else can I discover that is good, that is a blessing? One of the conversations that I find myself having more and more and hearing more and more is people talking about the good people that they're experiencing in life. It's easy to complain about, how long it took here, or what this person did. But I'm finding more conversations going on about people acknowledging blessings that they've received from other people in their lives. And I love to hear that. They say, oh, I was over here and someone stopped to help. or I wasn't sure where I was, and someone didn't just tell me how to get there. They walked me a couple blocks and around the corner and pointed so that I could see where I was going. And it's easy for us to hear all the things about people who mess up in life. But when we hear those things about people that are doing good in life, to recognize how wonderful that is. And that if you really think about, you know, since we don't tell those stories so often, how much that must be going on. Because, you know, how many people do you and I run into in life in a day? You know, 10, 20, 40, 50, maybe? You know, here probably for many of us is the biggest group that we see during the week. And how many negative stories do you hear? And imagine how many positive stories that you don't hear, of things that go on that just happen and we don't think to talk about those, that are going on all the time. And it's interesting, people many times have tried to start a good news newspaper, and for some reason they don't sell. And that's always curious to me. You know, because I know many times what people tell me, the first thing that they open the Faith for Today to is the prayer ministry's column of answered prayer. Because they want to know it's working for somebody else, because they want it to be working for them. So that openness, that innocence. The O of action stands for operate with the Christ power. And again, the book of life that this talks about in the Bible, the book of life is to know that you're in. You're in. Right now, let's just say, I'm in. I'm in. Doesn't it feel good? You know, because almost, you know, so many of us at some point growing up were not in. We were out, right? We weren't in the in group, maybe part of the time, but there was always at least one time when we felt that we weren't in. Well, to know that we're in, and we can operate with this Christ power. Early in the week, my nose was getting stuffed up a little bit, and I felt that little, you know, drainage down the throat. And all of a sudden I said, you know, I don't want this. And so all of a sudden, I took that image of something draining down the back of the throat and just imagined that my throat being bathed with healing power, with God's healing power. So I took an image and just changed it just a little bit. Didn't take a lot. Instead of the drip, 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 bathed in God's healing power. And my throat stopped being irritated and my nose opened up. And I go, that was easy. And so I thought, well, how else can I use it? And so after one of my hikes the other day, my knee was you know, throbbing a little bit. And so I said, what's the image? So the image that I had was as if there was a vise around my knee. And so I changed the vise to a cradle and just, again, saw that just God's healing love just cradling my knee. And within a few minutes, the pain was gone. So to operate with that sense that God's power is here, that Christ power ready to move through us right where we are, and to be aware of what are the images that we're operating with, and all we need to do is just change it a little bit, and we can see that Christ presence, that Christ power, that Christ energy moving forward, working through all that's going on. The N of action stands for now is the time. And the key here is don't wait for things to be perfect. And don't wait till all your ducks are lined up in a row. Yeah, because what I found, if the mama duck goes, the little ducks follow. She doesn't worry if they're all lined up. She heads off and knows that they'll follow along. Now is the time. You know, we wait many times, you know, for conditions to be right. Who was it? I think it was Leo Biscaglia says, you know, we take along a thermometer. You know, we take along a hot water bottle, and we take along all this equipment that many times we don't need. You know, I know one of the things that when Meredith packs for a trip, you know, about 2 days, she goes, why did I bring all this stuff? You know, because you're preparing for this and preparing for this and preparing for this. And whenever you're on a trip, you're going to be a little uncomfortable anyways, because you're not sleeping in your own bed. And you're eating different kinds of food. So it's like you might as well say, okay, I'm just going to abandon myself. But this is the time to find the richness, to find the power, to find the joy. And just as we can look at this book of Revelation and see that these images are strange and sometimes upsetting and sometimes even terrifying, just like the images that show up in our lives, and to realize that we don't need to wait until things look like they're going to get better. Because when we decide that we're going to look at them in a better way, then they begin to look better. For us to say, here and now, we have an opportunity for action. To let this anointing of the rich Spirit of God to work on us. And then to act as the Christ. Just to act as if. And rather than, you know, I gave those two different lists of the seven aspects of God, the seven spirits of God. What I invite you to do is to figure out what your seven spirits of God are that you want to have for yourself. What are the seven aspects of God you say, these are mine. These are mine. Not because somebody else told me that this is what it was, but because these are mine. And then with that, realize that in every situation in life, every seeming turn, at everything that seems to go right, at everything that doesn't seem to go right, that you have this presence of God, this anointing of Spirit that enlivens you, that wakes you up so that you can face everything and say, here we go, God, we're on the way to good. Let us pray. Dear God, we do give thanks in this wondrous moment, knowing that you are waking us up to new opportunities, new possibilities, new joy, new life, new love, a newness in your Spirit, and that we take your Spirit and its aliveness and live with a joy and a confidence moment by moment. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen. So I invite you to close your eyes and let's take a breath together and to feel an anointing of the richness of God's Spirit. And whatever image that takes form in your mind, to feel an anointing, to know that there are at least seven aspects of God with you, directed, focused on you. The whole purpose of God's creation is to bless you. And so we accept that as our reality. Accept that as a rich and royal gift. And to know that there are things in our life that have worked out pretty well. But we know there is something more that we desire. We've been trying to figure it out. And it is a desire for that living presence, just to know our oneness, just to be at peace and at home, just to feel absolutely loved in every moment. And there's no person that can give us that. But the presence of God, ever within us, always enlivens itself in us and says, you're in. You're in that book of life. You're in. And we accept that. We accept that connectedness. We accept that oneness. And we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this moment. And the fullness of your blessing that works in this moment. For your wisdom that enlivens our mind, that directs our thinking, that makes things clear, that shows us the way to move ahead or to the side or to back. We know that you are guiding us. And we accept that guidance. We acknowledge it. We let our feelings be enlivened as well with the richness of God. And just as you might imagine hearing the birds sing, children laughing and playing, that aliveness that is there is also within you. And in the past we've been asked to tone down, to settle in. But let aliveness be vitally alive in you, vigorously alive, joyously alive. and see it working out through you, out into your activities, into your relationships. And in our bodies, the Spirit is at work. And whatever images we hold of what's wrong, the Spirit shows us a way to bring forth a new image. An image of wholeness. An image of aliveness. An image of strength and poise and balance. An image of flexibility and energy. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for the gift of your anointing, for the oneness that is ours, here and now, in the silence. Dear Mother, Father, God, we again give thanks that your Spirit is at work to bless all the things of our life, to bless us, and to through us bless those around. We know that you are ever lifting us into a greater realization and expression of the Christ. Thank you, God. And now let's sing together our echo version of the Lord's Prayer.